Jerry Bader Show. Not a bad answer either on who could do themselves a lot of good by buying up the remaining Packers playoff tickets. Walmart isn't a bad answer. That's kind of a Green Bay-centric one. A lot of you in the other areas of the state listening, very controversial proposed Walmart in downtown Green Bay. The mayor opposes it. Yeah, I mean, that would go a long way. I like the Brett Favre answer, a friend shared. I like the Ryan Braun answer. Another one is Mary Burke. She'd have to be careful, though, because you get the whole vote-buying thing. So that could be problematic. All right, I want to get on to something else. There are two stories, and again, these are two stories that were in the news a lot while I was on vacation. And they're different, but they're the same. And you'll understand what I mean by that. I want to set up a what is right and what is wrong topic here. I am, unlike other what is right and what is wrong topics, I am going to tell you what I think. And I'm going to be honest, I am deeply conflicted on these topics. It was over the holiday period, the Christmas, when I was off for Christmas, that I learned of, and if I'm mispronouncing her first name, I apologize, but I haven't seen any TV coverage of this. I've only read about it. 13-year-old Jahai McMath. She's the 13-year-old who underwent a very routine tonsillectomy, started bleeding profusely. Everything seemed okay, and in a haunting turn, she told her family she was afraid she wasn't going to wake up from the procedure. She did. She seemed okay. She started bleeding profusely from the nose and mouth. They took her to intensive care, started pumping blood transfusions into her. It wasn't enough. She, because of loss of blood, most likely, is brain dead. It's just a horrible story. I mean, it's just, especially, you know, she seemed okay. Now, the hospital said the family won't allow them, and this is an Oakland, California family. Children's Hospital says the family won't allow them to tell the whole story. That there's an explanation for why what happened or happened, and they won't do the medical privacy release thing. Meanwhile, the child remains on life support, but the hospital insists that they are ventilating a dead body, that there is zero brain activity, including the brain stem, that her brain is now literally just a mass of tissue. There is no life left in her. That, therefore, they want to say, look, she's dead. Yes, her heart is beating. That's because we are supporting her shell of a body. And then likely they will harvest organs for transplant. The family, since she was declared brain dead December 12th, has fought her being taken off life support. They, just a little bit here from the Wall Street Journal. To Nyla Wingfield, Jai's mother, the insistence by doctors that her child has already died clashes with her belief that in God's eyes, as long as her child's heart is beating, Jai, I believe, is still alive. As family members search for another facility to care for her, they've also pursued a legal battle to stop doctors from removing the ventilator that keeps her breathing. The family argues that the hospital's decision to declare Jahai dead is a violation of Ms. Wingfield's religious freedom. These cases have come up before. And there have been rare cases where someone who is brain dead does recover, or had been at least declared brain dead, does recover. The hospital saying, look, we can't keep a dead person here. To the hospital, she's as dead as anybody who doesn't have a pulse, who is not being, doesn't have the assistance of a respirator. She's dead. She's not brain dead. In the hospital's eyes, she's dead. Her family refuses to recognize that. In my years in the newsroom, I have dealt with this. I remember a tragic case in Sheboygan where it was a juvenile who was killed in a traffic accident and was declared brain dead. And the Sheboygan County Sheriff's Department issued a news release saying they died, that the individual had died. I received a call from a family member. I just saw her. She's not dead. Well, according to the hospital, and therefore according to law enforcement, she was dead. So the sheriff's department there issued a news release. She's dead. This has been going on for years. So you have that one. Then you have this one. As Huffington Post puts it, when pro-life goes Frankenstein, the case of Marlies Munoz. Eric and Marlies Munoz were both paramedics. They were both life and death they were both around life and death situations on a daily basis. After Marlies went through her brother's tragic death, she told Eric that if anything ever happened to her, she didn't want a machine to keep her body alive. Sure enough, the unimaginable happened. Marlies had a pulmonary embolism that left her brain dead on November 26th. She was also pregnant. Eric wants to let nature take its course, but Texas has a law that pregnant women have to be kept on life support if there's any chance their fetus might survive. This is a case where the pro-life movement, writes Huffington Post, has literally gone Frankenstein. Indeed, Rachel Cox at Life News berates Eric for wanting to honor his wife's wishes about her end-of-life care. Why is this father trying to find all the reasons why his wife and unborn child should be removed from life support and left to die, and not the reasons why they shouldn't? I find it very frustrating and disheartening that Eric Munoz thinks this way, and also frightening that so many people actually agree with him. I believe these hopeless negative attitudes about the Munoz family situation are caused mainly by one thing, abortion. Abortion causes society to devalue human beings. When the abortion industry, media, and politicians pound in our heads over and over that the unborn babies are blobs of disposable tissue, it's easier to see why someone would not be motivated to preserve the life of their clump of cells. The Huffington Post then weighs in. Of course, it's all abortion's fault. That's why Eric and his wife's parents, all of whom want to end life support, are seeking closure and the ability to grieve their loss, because the abortion industry has corrupted their minds. That's why Eric doesn't want a brain-dead body that is only a shell of a person to be artificially respirated as a super-expensive organic fetus incubator. Elizabeth Landau writes that using the terms brain-dead and life support is a big part of the problem. When the brain no longer functions, a person is not just brain-dead, they're all the way dead. Life support is a misnomer in such cases because what's happening with the person's body is not life, but just sort of a zombie undeath, no different than if a mad scientist figured out a way to create an organ plantation in which livers and kidneys and stomachs and hearts could be harvested from recently dead people and incubated outside of human bodies to be transplanted in the future. Hey, it might not be a bad idea, but it isn't human life. Well, it is a human. It is a human being. And their body is alive. If her body wasn't alive, it couldn't support a baby. You can't say she's dead. Her cells, her body I'm talking about now. Her cells are alive. Her cells are supporting another human life. That's life. And I think that the person they quote, Rachel Cox at Life News, is exactly right. The pro-abortion camp sees no value in sustaining an in utero life when it can be terminated at any whim. So let me lay this out for you. I don't like the state getting involved in these decisions. However, if you're going to be pro-life, can you say that you disagree with the state intervening to try to protect the life of the child? But that law, of course, is a huge contradiction to legalized abortion, which allows you to terminate any pregnancy pretty much any time you want. I exaggerate slightly, but pretty much. And then you have in Oakland, California, a young girl who a hospital insists is just like Marlies Munoz, just a shell being artificially kept alive. And I disagree with the writer of the Huffington Post. Their bodies are alive. If they're pumping blood and there's not, if the tissue isn't dead, it's alive. It's one or the other. Is there a human being present anymore? I don't think that's a decision we mere mortals can make. I am extremely conflicted on these two cases. To me, the family in Oakland is just keeping up false hope, and I don't know if it's the government's place to help them keep up that false hope, i.e. the courts. On the other hand, in Texas, I don't like the idea of the state intervening there either. On the other hand, there is an opportunity to save a human life. And my inclination is that the state should step in and save a human life. But I don't like the idea of the state intervening in these personal decisions. I'm conflicted. But in the case of Texas, we're not just talking about the mother's life. We're talking about the baby's life. And that's where the whole, which really does make this like the abortion debate. This really is, basically, they want to perform an abortion by allowing the mother to die. That's really what's going on here. And I think modern science, perhaps, can save this baby's life. Were it me, I know that's what I would want to do. Were that my child in there. And I will say this, even if I thought it was against my wife's wishes, this is hard because I know that saving that child would not be against my wife's wishes. So it's hard for me to put myself in his shoes. But I think this is an extremely difficult one. And I am conflicted on the state getting involved in these personal decisions, yet a separate life is involved. But the law of the land is that separate life doesn't have protection anyway. So you can see, not that I agree with that law, but you can see how complex all of this is. I throw it out to you. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 9:49.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.